Cabal, I summon you to me. Now. Simi and Cody exchanged a look that said he was as crazy as he suddenly felt when nothing happened. Great, Dad, I can look stupid on my own. Didn't really need you to help out on that front. This was his thought until he heard a curse and something slammed into him, knocking him against the wall. Nick shoved his attacker away, then froze as he looked into a pair of familiar, startled brown eyes. Now, this was the giant, badass, tough demon that Nick was used to. Malvus? Tense and braced to fight, Caleb turned around slowly, surveying every aspect of his new surroundings. He paused as he faced Cody and Simi. Where the heck am I? And how did I get here? Cody pointed to Nick. Apparently, Nick summoned you. Nick. Caleb glanced right past Nick and kept searching the room with his gaze. Our Nick? Where is the little booger? She gestured even more exaggeratedly at Nick's position. Right there? Caleb's jaw went slack as he faced him. Nick? Caleb? The word had barely left his lips before Caleb grabbed him into a bear hug and held him tight, which was extremely awkward and gross. Completely weirded out by it, Nick tried to disentangle himself from the demon. It wasn't like Caleb to show any emotion toward him other than irritation or frustration. Sometimes anger. Okay, a lot of times anger. Still, affection toward anything other than food, completely unnatural. Stop, see, if you're gonna hug me like this, you gotta buy me dinner first, boy, and it's gotta be someplace nice like Antoine's or Brennan's. I ain't easy or cheap. Laughing, Caleb stepped back and narrowed his eyes on Nick as he held him by his arms. Dude, did you lose a bet with a sorcerer or something? Nick gave him a droll smirk. Don't taunt me now that I know your real name. I'm told I can do some damage to you with that. Make you fetch my slippers and stuff. Now it was Cody's turn to gape as she understood. Cabal? His summoning name is Cabal, really? Caleb visibly cringed. Don't, Nakota, just don't. I can wreck your day too, you know. She held her hands up in surrender. Yes, you can, please don't. I've already forgotten I ever heard it.
Good woman.
Nick tilted his head as he took in Caleb's bruised face. What got a hold of you? A lot of things that were trying to snatch your body from my custody, and we can't leave Zavid alone with it. He's extremely likely to throw it out the door and let the others have you to save his own hide. Unlike me, he's not real attached to you, and I don't like or trust untested loyalty. Neither did Nick. I've been told by countless dead people today that you and Cody have to free my powers first.
Countless dead people?
Caleb asked. Long story. Nick inclined his head to Cody. Can you two fix me? She met Caleb's gaze. I was told we needed the Magus Stone to restore his powers. It's what they used to do this to him. Caleb choked on that. Apollyme's necklace? Are you nuts?
Ooh, Simi breathed. The sparkly, shiny one. I know that necklace. Akra used to pacify the Simi with it when she was a very little Simi. It's why the Simi loves her sparkly so.
Cody sucked her breath in sharply.
Do you think you could borrow it?
Simi burst out laughing, then sobered.
Oh, you were actually serious with the Simi and not making a joke. No. Akra needed it to feed her daemons, and she'd pull the Simi's wings off if I tried to take it. That mean old Striker would probably help, too. He bad that way. And no offense, but the Simi don't like her wings. They make traveling very nice and very easy, much faster than walking, and
I know you know what I mean.
Caleb crossed his arms over his chest.
It wouldn't matter if we had it. Nick would still need his powers. It's worthless to us without those.
How so? Cody asked. I have the blood of Set in me. Shouldn't it work if I used it?
Want to bet our lives on it?
Not really, and especially not with our combined luck.
Cody sighed.
Fine. Let's try to unlock his powers and see where it gets us.
Hopefully not the hospital,
Nick mumbled under his breath.
Bubba cleared his throat to get their attention. Whatever you have planned, you might want to step it up a notch and be quick about it. We have bad guys heading in again, and they're moving double time.
Nick moaned out loud. Can't we catch a break?
Caleb snorted.
Pretty sure one of them would be willing to break a knee or any other bone they can reach.
Ha ha. Cody held her hand out to Caleb. Let's do this.
While Caleb took it, Nick glanced over to the monitor that Bubba and Mark were watching via webcams stationed down the street. His eyes bugged at the sight of their impending doom. Bubba wasn't exaggerating even a little bit. Thorn was back with a lot of reinforcements. Reinforcements that were dragging, bound in chains, a number of Asheron's hell monkeys in their wake. And then he realized what else they were carrying. No, it couldn't be.
Is that
our former allies?
Mark asked, confirming Nick's worst fear.
Yes, it is.
Horrified by the sight of Savitar and Asheron in Thorn's custody, Nick barely heard the words Caleb and Cody chanted behind him. He was too transfixed by the fact that they were all about to die a painful and grotesque death. Rising up from the others, Thorn flew at the house and threw a fireball that slammed against the fortified front door. It was so powerful that it shook the entire structure. Mark and Bubba went pale. Without a word, Mark hurriedly finished arming himself. Bubba continued to sit in his chair as if unable to cope with what was coming for them now. Simi started for the door, but Nick stopped her.
It's me they want.
Maybe I should just hand myself over and stop this. The goth demon tisked at him.
Akra Nikki. On the grand scale of stupid, that would be epic and lethal.
She patted his shoulder.
Trust the Simi. You don't want to do that. It'd ruin your clothes, and you look very nice out of your ugly shirts.
He smiled at her until he felt the hot stab of something going through him. For a second, he thought he'd been shot. He felt his stomach for blood. Nothing was there. Apprehensive, he glanced over to Caleb and Cody, and as he did so, he felt that light-headed sensation again. His hands turned translucent.
The Malachi power resides with your spirit and soul. It can never be separated from that.
He looked around for his father, but he saw nothing. Just the voice in his head. Suddenly that familiar warmth filled his entire body, that indescribable je ne sais quoi he had whenever he tapped into his demonic inheritance. Leaning his head back, he closed his eyes and let it wash over him. The ether roared in his ears as he heard a million voices at once. Someone grabbed him from behind. Instead of fighting, Nick leaned against them and allowed them to hold him while he swayed with the weight and pain of everything.
Just breathe, baby. Just breathe.
He felt Cody's gentle hand on his cheek as she whispered in his ear.
I have you, and I'm not letting go. Don't fight it. Remember that your powers are a part of you, like breathing.
He tried to do what she suggested and not tense or fight the flow of power inside him. At first, he thought he was settling down and returning to normal.
until his stomach heaved. Nick staggered away from Cody and ran to the bathroom. He'd barely made it to the toilet before his stomach unloaded itself with a violence that would make the girl in the Exorcist movie proud. Over and over, his stomach spasmed with no mercy given to his dignity. To his complete shock, Cody knelt by his side and stroked his back until he was finally finished. With a shaking hand, he flushed the toilet. She gave him a small damp towel that he pressed to his lips.
Better?
His breathing ragged. He nodded, then shook his head. You have an iron constitution, you know that? Laughing, she brushed the hair back from his forehead.
Compared to what you see in battle vomits, not so bad.
He heard the pain in her voice that belied her light tone. Honestly, he didn't want to know what horrors she'd been through, that this was preferable to them. And all because of him and what he'd do to her and her family in the future. Not wanting to think about that, he looked down at his hand that had finally returned to normal. He balled it into a fist. Are my powers back?
Not sure. Care to try them and see?
Nick cupped his hand and concentrated so that he could manifest a fireball. Instantly, fire engulfed his hand. Now it was his turn to laugh as he repeated it with his other arm. Oh, yeah. He was back, and he was ready to battle. Extinguishing his arms, he rose to his feet and headed for the door with a deadly intent.
Nick?
Cody chided.
What are you doing?
Gonna ruin Thorne's day.
Do you think that's wise?
Not at all. He kept going. She tried to stop him, but he gently shrugged her hold off. He was too set on payback. Nothing, not even Cody, was going to get in his way. Determined, he headed straight for the front door and ignored Mark and Bubba, who were armed to their teeth as they gaped at him and his apparent intentions. Without a word, Simi and Caleb fell in behind him as his escorts. Nick opened the door with his telekinesis and stood on the front porch. Caleb took position just behind Nick's left side, while Simi squared off on his right. Arching a brow, Thorne froze a few feet from the bottom step.
Well, well. How stupid and brave of you, little boy. But it'll take something more than two demons and elementary parlor tricks to scare or stop us.
Nick glanced to Simi and Caleb, then looked over to where Thorne's soldiers were dragging what he hoped was only an unconscious Asheron and Savitar onto the front lawn so that they could dump them by the driveway. He wanted to go to them and make sure they were alive, but that would be all kinds of dumb. And while stupid was his better friend most days, this wasn't the time to court it. Forcing that urge down, Nick locked gazes with Thorne and gave him a slow, taunting smile meant to irritate the other being into performing his own kind of idiocy. For further effect, he rolled out his thickest Cajun drawl.
Oh, now, why you want to go and insult me, eh, boo? What'd I ever do to you?
Thorne stepped forward. Nick rubbed at his jaw.
I would advise against doing that.
Another step.
I don't take orders.
That's where you're wrong, Bonham. Last I heard, you are my general, and you take orders from me.
Thorne scoffed with a mocking laugh. Nick tisked.
Last chance?
Or what?
Nick unfurled his wings and let the fire roll down both his arms until it pooled into his hands, where it flamed in pulses that matched his rapid heartbeat.
I'm gonna barbecue me some thorny meat and let the Simi here break out her hottest sauce and say, Bon appetit, Cher.
Simi sucked her breath in sharply.
Don't go teasing me, Akari Nick. Don't say something you don't mean. That's just wrong.
I mean it, Simi. He glanced back at Thorn. So what's it to be? You ready to make Simi's day, or you want to back down and leave with all limbs attached?
Thorn paused as he considered his answer.
He's bluffing,
Tabitha said as she walked through the demons to reach Thorn's side.
He doesn't have his powers. They're trying to trick us. I saw what he looks like as the Malachi, and that's not it.
Thorn swept a speculative glance over Nick's body.
My girl's calling you a liar. If my girl was here, she'd be calling you an idiot.
Thorn growled. Nick growled back. Caleb laughed at them both.
Simi, we should be filming this. We can make a killing on it.
Already recorded, Akari Demon. Just let the Simi know whenever you want the full color playback.
Good.
Caleb turned back to Nick. This is probably where I ought to inform you that the way you subdue the Usumgalu is you have to confront each general in your army and prove yourself worthy of leading them. The fire went out on his arms immediately. Nick held his hand up to Thorn.
Hang on a minute.
He glared at Caleb.
Clarify that last statement.
You, Malachi. Caleb stepped forward to clap him on the back. Must sally forth unto each Saru and proclaim yourself the Uma Saru. For lack of a better term, head badass. Then, when they laugh in your face, you throw them on the ground and make them cry uncle. Clear enough for you? A little too clear, honestly. His stomach pitching again, Nick nodded. You know, Kale, this information would have been a lot more useful to me before I walked out the door.
Yeah, well, you got that whole bad habit of leaping over a crack while not noticing that it's right in front of a cliff with no guardrail. Maybe you should look a little farther ahead than the tip of your nose from time to time, just saying.
Thorn laughed out loud.
Seems Tabitha was correct, then. You belong to us.
This time, when Thorn moved forward, Nick set him on fire and forced him and Tabitha backward into the yard.
Did I say you could move, Alpo? Pretty sure I told you to stay put.
Thank you. I didn't mean it.
Nice work,
Caleb congratulated in an amused tone. Thank you. Now, back to what we were talking about. Not to interrupt, but Caleb pointed to the demonic army that was now attacking them. Nick let out a sound of fierce irritation before he sent a wave across the yard that knocked them down and sent them skidding toward the street. When they rose back to their feet and ran at them again, he passed a droll stare to Caleb.
They ride the short bus, don't they?
Pretty sure that big demon in back is the short bus. Cody grimaced at them both as she joined them on the porch.
Gentlemen, this isn't a video game. Those are real, live, breathing monsters on the lawn who want us dead. Could you please focus?
He took a step, but Caleb grabbed him.
Stupidity.
It's taken over the world. Run, Nick. Save yourself before it's too late. Nick snorted at Caleb's words, then winked at her.
Fine, Belle.
He glanced to the demon over his shoulder.
See me?
Lunchtime. Break out your sauce, baby.
With a giddy laugh, she took off after them.
But don't eat Thorn or Tabitha or Selena or Mandy, Cody called. We might need them.
Caleb ahead as he watched their enemies splinter and run from a jubilant Simi who was all intent on adding them to her menu.
Chaos. It's a lovely thing, isn't it?
My grandfather always thought so, Cody mumbled.
Me, not so much. I'd like to try boring for a few days. Months would be even better.
Nick scoffed at her wish. So long as you're with the Malachi, Cher, boring will never be in your vocabulary.
She sighed. Sad but true.
Malachi,
Thorn shouted.
Con!
Nick returned with his best Captain Kirk imitation. Do we have to put down every creature in your army? Really? Thorne headed for the steps again. Fine. You want me to stop? Prove yourself to me. Caleb turned to face Nick. Remember, make him cry, Uncle. Cry, Uncle, my posterior. I'm going to make him cry like a girl who broke her mom's designer heels at the prom. Nick headed down the steps to meet Thorne. Thorne raked him with a stare that said he didn't think Nick would be much of a challenge. As soon as Nick was close enough, he swung out at him. Nick ducked and rammed his shoulders straight into Thorne's stomach, knocking him down. Rolling on the ground, Thorne shot to his feet, then sent a fireball straight at Nick that Nick blocked with his powers. He sent it straight back into Thorne, who barely dodged it, and it succeeded in wiping the smirk off his face. Nick followed it with a blast of his own that caught Thorne's shoulder. Yelping, Thorne manifested a sword and lunged forward. With his powers, Nick created a staff and deflected it, then parried with a blow that caught Thorne across his spine. Cody gaped as she watched Nick and Thorne spar. She met Caleb's equally stunned expression.
When did he learn to do all that?
Not 100% sure, but remind me the next time I say something snarky that he's come a long way with his battle skills. Yes, he had. In the past, Nick could always take a punch. Now, he was able to give them. He fought like a boss. Until Thorne turned it on him. Cody started forward, but Caleb stopped her. He has to defeat Thorne on his own, without help. Otherwise, he won't be able to subjugate the Usum Gallu. She glanced around the yard where Simi had already routed the other demons. Selena and Amanda had vanished into the crowd. Tabitha was heading for Nick and Thorne.
I might not be able to help with Thorne, but
she could definitely take that witch down. No one was going after Nick while she was around. Cody headed for her. Nick saw Cody from the corner of his eye. That distraction cost him as Thorne moved in and caught him a significant blow to his jaw that sent his head spinning. He staggered back. Thorne kicked him hard in the solar plexus. Everything darkened, and for a second he honestly thought he was going to black out. Until he saw the darkness slithering again. It was like a living, breathing creature.
I'm hallucinating.
What if he wasn't? Given all the other weirdness in his world that wasn't crazy, what if Nick held his hand out to pet it. The dark rose up to caress his arm and lick it. Before he could rethink it, Nick slung his hand out and sent the darkness for Thorne. With his thoughts, he commanded it. 1 second, Thorne was about to stab him, and in the next, the darkness jerked him out of reach. It was only then that Nick saw it for what it really was. Not one single creature, but an amalgam of night. Lifting his hands, he orchestrated it to go after the others, including Tabitha. Holy crap, it was working. He could actually do this, and the power wasn't malfunctioning on him, at least not yet. Cody froze as Tabitha was pulled back from their fight and held immobile by nothing. No, not nothing, by the element of night. Terror filled her as she realized what was happening. Nick had embraced the darkness. He was commanding it. Something he shouldn't be able to do for decades yet. And for him to do that now boded the worst kind of evil for them. Biting her lip, she watched, breathless, as Nick started to transform from a human into a demon. He stalked toward Thorne with eyes so red they glowed and snapped like a living fire. The Malachi powers were alive, and they had possession of him completely.
What have we done?
Once tapped, Noir's powers were seductive and all-consuming, irresistible. Worse, they allowed the primal god to locate his property. So long as Nick used them, Noir could hone in and attack him. She met Caleb's concerned gaze and saw the same horror mirrored on his face.
Nick,
he cried. But it was too late. Nick was transforming in front of them, and he was about to kill Thorn and absorb his powers, too.
Chapter 17. You command the power of the universe. Life itself is in the palm of your hand. There is nothing that can stop you. No rules that apply to you. You are the only one who matters in this existence. The rest are pawns and tools to be used and destroyed as you see fit. Embrace your fate, Malachi. Become what you were born to be. Nick let the truth ring in his ears as he effortlessly pinned Thorn to the lawn with one hand. The demon lord wasn't so powerful now that he squirmed like a worm caught on drying pavement by the heat of a sun he couldn't fight. He was every bit as pathetic and helpless as those insignificant creatures that crawled up from the belly of the earth and were used as nothing more than bait for and by their betters. Kill him, and you'll be even stronger than what you are now. You'll have powers the likes of which you cannot imagine.
Nick scoffed. I don't know, disembodied voice in my head. I have one heck of an active imagination. You'd do well not to underestimate it. In his mind, Nick saw himself as he wanted to be. Confident, suave, sophisticated, tough, like Kyrian, Talon, Caleb, and Asheron. The epitome of badass respectability. Not the pathetic loser dork who banged his arms and feet into everything he passed. One who bumped his head any time he neared low-hanging signs or plants. Just once he wanted to walk into a room without tripping over nothing and not have someone snicker or comment about his clumsy awkwardness or foul clothing.
Kill him, and it's all yours. Everything you want. You will be the very top of the food chain. No one will ever dare to mock you again.
Nick tightened his hold on Thorn's throat. It was so tempting. All he'd ever wanted in his entire life was respect. And the voice was correct. Right now, he saw terror in Thorn's green eyes as he struggled against Nick's iron grip that would not be broken. Gone was any hint of condescension or contempt. Thorn definitely wasn't smirking now as he began turning blue, and his eyes bulged.
I could kill him, and no one would care. Who would miss a creature like Thorn? No one. It would be so easy, so very easy.
But as Nick felt Thorn's weakening grip on his hand, he loosened his hold.
I am the Malachi, the baddest beast in the land.
What would killing Thorn really prove? A truth he already knew, that he was stronger, better? What was the point? He didn't need blood on his hands to show the world who and what he was. Nick already knew, and so did the people who mattered to him. The devil take the rest. He didn't owe them anything, and they weren't worth his life. Definitely not worth his soul. Nick Gaucher had nothing to prove to anyone in this, or any, realm. But he still had people to protect, people he cared about and loved. With that in mind, he slackened his hold to give Thorn some breathing space. Do you yield to me? Thorn growled at him. That's not an answer. Nick traded hands and increased the pressure on Thorn's throat again. Do I really have to kill you on the front lawn of Bubba's house? Is that truly what you want? Because, no offense, killing you is not the way to get my girl to kiss me at the end of the night, and I'd much rather snuggle with her than step over your dead body and tick her off. Pretty sure you'd rather I not kill you, too, or am I wrong? Are you suicidal? Do we both go home happy, or will I later be defacing your corpse because you got me in the doghouse? Thorn's eyes glowed red in the darkness.
I will follow no one ever again, and that includes you.
Good, because I'm not leading. There will be no battle, and you're not being summoned to my army or to any kind of fight on my behalf. The only war I want is the solo one against my own stupidity, which seems a losing battle most days, and while I'd like to defeat that, I don't want to end the world, or you, or anything other than this redonkulous standoff. However, I will kill you if I have to stop this. But I hope it don't come to that. Honestly, all I expect is for you to crawl back to your hole and stay there like a nice demon lord, because the next time I confront you, boy, I won't show mercy. You will bleed, and I will be in the perpetual doghouse with both the women in my life. Got it? Cody started for Nick, but Caleb caught her arm. She glared at the demon. Did he not understand what was going on? If they didn't do something fast, it would be over for all of them. Nick's metamorphosing. A slow smile broke across Caleb's handsome face. Yes, he is. How could he be so nonchalant, so happy? Did he want Nick to become a bloodthirsty monster? If Nick gave in to his dark powers, Caleb would suffer as much, if not more, than she would. Especially now that Nick knew his real name. Terrified, she glanced to Nick, who was about to finish Thorn off, then back to Caleb. We have to stop it. If he becomes the Malachi... Cody... Caleb said in an even tone, breaking her words off. Can you not understand what they're saying? She shook her head. It's demonkin. I only know a handful of words. Yeah, well, I know a few more. All of a sudden, Nick stood and backed away from Thorn. With a glower of fury at him, Thorn slowly pushed himself to his feet. She expected him to attack Nick again. Instead, he saluted him, then gathered his demon minions and Tabitha and her sisters, and left. Completely confused, she stared at Nick as he went to check on Savitar and Asheron, who were still lying as lumps on the lawn. By the relieved expression on his face while he felt for a pulse, she knew they were okay. And while that thrilled her, it didn't take away her shock at Nick's actions. She gaped at Caleb. He's in control of himself? Caleb nodded. Completely. Somehow he pushed the darkness out and resisted it. How? It was unheard of. No one turned down Noir. And they definitely didn't do it like this. As Nick headed toward her, he gave her that devilish grin that never failed to speed up her heartbeat. But as fast as that smile came, it vanished with a curse. Clutching his chest, Nick fell to his knees on the lawn. Then he collapsed. Petrified, she ran to him. Nick? Arching his back, Nick screamed out. He shook all over. She met Caleb's and Simi's wide-eyed stares as they joined her by his side. What is this? They shook their heads in unison. Cody knelt and placed her hand to Nick's cheek. Sweetie, can you hear me? He bit his lip and cursed again. It burns like fire. What? He pulled his shirt down so that he could blow across his chest, and as he did so, an ancient symbol formed over his left pectoral. It was a circle that held Noir's emblem, on top, and Azura's on the bottom, the mark of their ownership. But why was it appearing on his temporary body? That made no sense at all. Swallowing hard, she met Caleb's wide gaze. He paled instantly. What is this, Caleb?
He's marked.
She understood that part. The demon was being evasive, and she wanted to beat him for it. Elaborate? Caleb shook his head slowly.
You really don't want me to?
Oh, I really do. Caleb grimaced and continued to hedge.
Why ruin all our days?
Caleb! She snapped simultaneously with Nick.
Nick reached up and grabbed the front of Caleb's shirt.
What is happening to me?
Your parents want their baby home, son. And this,
Caleb touched his mark,
is their tactical trunk monkey.
Scowling at the term, Nick dreaded the answer in the worst sort of way.
What's a tactical trunk monkey?
Caleb made another grimace.
In a couple of years, you'll know exactly what I mean. For now, think of it like a homing beacon from hell.
Nick stifled the fear in him that was trying to take over. Not a good time for that. He really needed his level-headed sanity. Although, honestly, he couldn't think of anything better than to panic right now. For that matter, his sanity hadn't proven all that beneficial either. Maybe freaking out would help? Nick ground his teeth against the agony that continued to pierce him.
How do we get rid of it?
The seamy could barbecue your skin. That would take it off. Might take some muscles and other things, too. Should we try?
Nick made a high-pitched noise of disagreement.
No!
Seamy bared her fangs at him.
The seamy don't like that word, Ockery Nick. It a bad, bad thing.
And I don't like being burned by flaming demon breath either, Seamy.
She blew him a raspberry.
You big demon baby.
Dang right.
He tightened his hold on Caleb's shirt.
What do I do? Run.
Nick scoffed. Caleb made it sound so easy, but if he knew anything, it was that his life never had a simple answer to his problems, and he couldn't breathe or stand. Never mind, get up and sprint across the lawn.
Won't they find me if I run?
Caleb didn't hesitate with his response.
Yeah.
Then what's the good in running?
You'll feel like you at least tried?
He gaped at his friend, hating Caleb's sarcasm. Not comforting, Caleb, not comforting. Cody cupped his face in her hands and forced him to look at her.
You have your powers. Can you take us home?
If you're back in your own body, they won't be able to track you, right? Caleb shrugged. Cody popped him on the arm.
Ow!
He rubbed the spot where she struck him.
I don't know, woman. Sounds good to me. It's worth a try, I guess.
Ignoring them, Nick glanced around the yard to where Savitar and Ash were still unconscious. Bubba, Mark, the two Tophers, and Charisse were cautiously leaving the house. He met Simi's gaze, then Caleb's, and finally, he returned to Cody. And all the while, the pain in his chest burned deeper and more ferocious. He had to do something. Fast.
I can try.
She leaned down to place a chaste kiss on his lips.
You will succeed.
Like Caleb, Cody made it all sound so easy, but Nick lacked her optimism. At this point, they'd been told so many different things on what he needed to do to get home and be safe that nothing made sense anymore. He felt as though he'd been stuck here forever.
Stop complaining. At least you have your powers back.
That was true. Not to mention his father had told him that this body couldn't contain his real spirit. If he could bypass that realm his father had been in, then maybe, just maybe, he might make it back to where he came from, and no one would be able to track him there. All he had to do then was kick the other Nick out of his skin and hope for another miracle. Yeah, he felt like laughing at the ridiculousness of that, too. Closing his eyes, he tried to focus.
You can do this, Nick,
Cody whispered in his ear as she clutched his hand in hers.
I have complete faith in you. Think of your mom and Aunt Minnie and Liza and Kiri and all the people who love you, the ones who need you.
Her voice was so hypnotic, it lulled him into a sense of complete peace while she continued to remind him of the things he valued at home, the people who were his family even without blood ties. Instead of helping him, though, it felt more like she was putting him to sleep. In spite of the pain, his eyes became heavy, his limbs weak. Before he knew what was happening, he went completely limp and fell
into a black hole. Panicking, Nick tried to grab hold in the darkness. Nothing was there. He couldn't even hear Cody's voice anymore. Was he dead? Dying? He had no way of knowing. This was an absolute cessation of sensory input. He could no longer hear, see, taste, smell, or feel anything. His eyes rolled back in his head, and still he fell. Angry and scared, he summoned his powers with everything he had and did his best to stop the freefall. Suddenly, the darkness began to cradle him. It slithered around his limbs and wound itself tightly over his chest, just as it had done earlier. He heard the sound of 1,000 hooves running far away like a powerful, thrumming heartbeat. Then he saw the Ambrose Malachi in all its glory, tall, evil, and unstoppable. Covered in armor, the beast was terrifying. Caleb stood to his right with a sick look on his face. Dressed in his own battle armor and with his wings extended, Caleb brushed his hand over the blood that covered him.
"Your enemies have been routed, my lord. They are down to only a tiny handful who've taken refuge in the church."
Nick, as the Ambrose Malachi, arched a brow at Caleb's tone while he gave his report. He turned his red gaze to his once trusted friend, who no longer meant anything to him.
"You dare condemn me?"
"No, my lord, it's not my place." What had he done to Caleb to make him so subservient? Never had he known the demon to be so obsequious. Nick hated seeing him like that. Fear was not respect. It was only a cold substitution. He would rather have Caleb's biting sarcasm than this shell of a boot-licking sycophant trying to placate him. But the Ambrose Malachi didn't seem to care or to notice the difference. He merely walked all over everyone around him. Disgusted by the sight, Nick shook his head to clear it and forced his thoughts to his mother and his home. He had to return to her. Without him, she was defenseless.
"Talk to me, Cody. Guide me back to my New Orleans."
Oppressive silence answered him. It rang in his ears until it overrode the sound of his own heartbeat.
"I'm lost."
No, he couldn't think that way. If he did, he really would be lost, and he'd never return to the world he knew, the world he loved. "I must stay focused." Keep his eye on the target. The landscape was home, back to the world that made sense to him, to the place where Marag was his nerdy friend and Stone was the one who slammed him into lockers. Natural order, positive, negative, abnormal normality.
"Come to me, Nicholas. I can make it all better."
Nick hesitated at the beckoning voice that filled him with an inexplicable joy. It was like a mother's caress, soft, gentle, soothing, alluring. He almost gave in until he remembered one fact he'd learned the hard way. Beware the easy path. It's never as simple as it seems. Even Zavid had warned him of that, and he knew it for fact.
"Don't sell your soul for a lifetime of slavery to avoid a brief time of misery. This too shall pass."
If he was going to go down in flames, it'd be to the tune he picked, not something forced on him by someone else. "You want me, lady? Come get some. But I'm not going to you." And he dang sure wasn't going to make it easy on her. Nick concentrated as hard as he could on the home he wanted to return to. He imagined himself in his room, grounded for life by his mother. The darkness spun faster, as if trying to drag him away from that image. In true Gaucher form, he dug his heels in and refused to let it sway him. "I am not your pawn or your tool," he growled. "You will not own me. You will not control me." As if offended, the darkness let go,
and he fell fast enough that his eyesight blurred. He slammed into a wall so hard it shattered around him like glass. His spine felt busted. Fragments showered him as he finally came to a rest, flat on his back. His breathing labored. He groaned out loud in utter agony. Afraid yet determined, Nick opened his eyes to meet his newest threat. It came in the form of a slobbering, growling wolf with bared fangs. Nick started to attack until he realized where he was. He knew that elaborate crown molding, that ornate French mural that was painted across the ceiling. This was Caleb's house. That would mean the wolf was Zavid? The wolf pulled back to glare suspiciously at him. Nick pushed himself up. Dude, we need to get you some serious breath mints. Stop panting on me. I am not your Saturday night girl. Backing away, Zavid returned to his human form. He narrowed his eyes suspiciously.
Gaucher, that really you?
He reached out, and his hand passed straight through Nick's body. Nick let out a sound of disgust. He didn't even want to know what he looked like right now. That's not a good sign, is it?
Depends. Are you alive or dead?
I'm going with alive because it beats the alternative. Zavid rolled his eyes.
Where's Malphus?
Cabal! Nick shouted, hoping it would work. He glanced to Zavid. Do I really have to call a demon in triplicate every time I want to summon it? Before the wolf could answer, Caleb appeared by his side. Guess not, Nick answered. This was getting better. His powers were holding and doing what they were supposed to, at least for the time being. How do I get... As if sensing the question, Simi appeared instantly on his six.
Akri, Nick, you made it! Good for you!
She slapped Caleb playfully on his arm.
See? The Simi done told you that mean old darkness wouldn't eat his head like you said it would. You didn't believe me. Next time the Simi tells you something, you'll listen. And speaking of, all this interdimensional travel done made the Simi hungry again. What you gots to eat in this place?
Caleb pointed to Zavid.
I hear barbecued wolf is a delicacy on most continents.
Offended, Zavid glared at him.
Excuse me.
I would, Z, but you keep doing stupid crap, and there's just no excuse for that. Nick ignored them while he waited on Cody to join their group. After a couple of minutes, he glanced back at the two demons who were still arguing while Simi was rooting through Caleb's kitchen pantry. Lightning flashed outside before the sound of thunder rattled the windows. Hey, guys, can I have your attention for a sec? He counted his concerns off on his fingers. One? Where's the alternate me so I can repo my bod and get back to normal? Kind of miss it, and I don't want to stay like a ghost. And two, where's my girl? I miss her more than my body. Zavid grimaced in distaste.
Since I don't hear the screeching whine of a child that makes my ears bleed, I'm assuming Nick, too, is still unconscious inside the closet I locked him in.
Caleb rolled his eyes. Are you serious?
You told me not to let him get eaten or kill him until you got back. He's not eaten, and I didn't kill him. Really, you should congratulate my restraint, which was seriously hard won.
Congratulations. I'm not going to kill you. And still, neither answered the most pertinent question. Where's Cody? Do I have to summon her by name, too?
She's not a demon, Caleb reminded him. That only works on us.
Then where is she? Zavid shrugged, while Caleb scratched uncomfortably at his neck. That was never a good thing where Caleb was concerned. An awful feeling went through Nick.
What?
He asked Caleb. He refused to answer.
Oh, yeah. This was gonna suck.
With a box of ding-dongs in hand, Simi drifted back into the foyer where they stood.
Man up, demon. Tell the boy what he's asking about.
Still, Caleb hedged. What? Nick repeated, this time to Simi.
What's happening? Why isn't Cody here?
Simi sighed heavily, then swallowed her mouthful of cupcake.
You know Miss Aqua Cody, not human, right?
Yeah, I'm not that oblivious.
Simi dug out another package from the box.
Well, see, there's a little problem. Aqua Cody be a ghost, and they can't travel like we does, and Caleb couldn't bring her back like he did me, because she got no real living body. She got one of them borrowed bodies that are different. Once they leaves a dimension, they can't really get back to it.
The knot in his stomach tightened to the point he thought he'd be sick. I don't understand. Caleb groaned under his breath before he picked up the explanation.
You know the old joke about the dead? Don't go into the light?
Yeah.
We went into the light. Cody won't be able to cross back. Ever.
Rage erupted inside him. Before he could stop himself, he grabbed Caleb and slammed him into the wall. He wasn't sure how he could do that while Caleb still couldn't touch him, but he was too angry to question it right now. Not while he had more pressing concerns.
You're lying to me.
Caleb shook his head.
I wouldn't do that. And you know, Simi could never.
Releasing Caleb, Nick didn't want to believe it. Tears made his vision swim as an unbelievable agony tore through him.
Cody gone? How could that be true? Why didn't she say something?
She knew you wouldn't come back without her, and we didn't have time to waste. We still don't.
You have to merge back into your body, kick down your army, and seal them out before the next new moon, which is roughly 16 hours from now, give or take.
A loud, piercing screech erupted from somewhere Nick couldn't locate. It sounded like the air itself made it. The storm outside increased its intensity. If he didn't know better, he'd think they were in the middle of a hurricane.
Zavid flinched, as if something had struck him.
Definitely less. That's the cry from another Saru.
Something just broke its seal and released it into this world. We have to move fast.
He rushed for the stairs.
Nick?
Caleb said in an earnest tone when Nick didn't rush after Zavid.
What are you thinking?
He was thinking that he wanted to go back and get Cody right now. He was thinking that he had no desire to be here without her, to live in a world where she didn't exist. She'd given up everything for them without hesitation. And that made him even angrier. Did she not love him at all? How could she just let him go without saying anything, knowing she'd never see him again? Did she not care? I meant nothing to her. She hadn't even put up a fight about it. She just kicked him out of her life as if he was nothing but an unwanted nuisance.
Caleb snapped his fingers in his face. Nick, stop! He glared at the demon.
Stop what?
I can tell by the fire in your eyes what you're thinking. Cody loves you more than you understand. What she did for you, and you alone. Had you not left, Thorn would have returned and enslaved you, and the others would have killed you. Don't you dare let that Malachi hate build up inside you and take away from her selfless act. I was there after you left. I saw her break down and weep like you can't imagine. And now she's trapped there, completely alone, with no one at all. So don't you dare hate her for what she did to save you.
Even so, it was hard.
The Malachi wanted to hate, and keeping that at bay was a constant struggle for him. Hatred was quickly becoming his go-to happy place. But the thought of Cody in tears, that hit him hard. He couldn't stand the thought of her in pain, especially not because of him.
I have to go back for her.
Caleb shook his head.
Without the Mage's Stone, you can't. And right now, the most important thing is to reunite you and your body and put down your army before they get together and party. Not to mention, we don't know what your spirit will do here in this realm if it's not grounded in your body. And with the two of you existing in the same time and space, that's
never supposed to happen, and I don't know the full ramifications if you exist together for long, so let's take care of one catastrophe at a time, okay?
A human scream sounded from upstairs. Zavid growled low in his throat.
Speaking of catastrophes, want to bet that's Nick, too, getting eaten by something?
Without hesitation, Nick teleported to Caleb's room. Ready to battle to the death, he froze at the sight of the true terror that awaited him.
No, Lord, anything but this.
Demons, vampires, werewolves, brain-hungry zombies, cruel jocks. Nick could handle anything, anything, except this. This was way beyond cruel and far beyond his ability to cope. Truly, truly horrified, he gaped at the boy in his body, who was standing on a chair, squealing and pointing at the floor, where the most terrifying thing in the world looked up in horror, too. Disgust overwhelmed Nick as he glared at the stranger in his body. What are you doing?
It's a spider!
Nick, too, screamed as he continued to gesture toward the tiny creature on the floor.
A spider? Really?
Thank God it wasn't a rat. That would have probably sent him into an epileptic seizure. Nick sighed wearily.
You screamed like that over a bug. Seriously, dude, we live in New Orleans, ground zero for insects, and here I thought something was about to kill you.
Something other than him.
It is! That's a brown recluse! They're poisonous!
Nick scoffed at his unwarranted hysteria. Thank goodness this hadn't happened at school. He'd never live it down, and rightfully so. Anyone this big a baby over something so ridiculous needed to be mocked. It was a moral imperative. It's a granddaddy long legs, and he's laughing his butt off at the human idiot he chased up a chair. Dude, have some dignity, especially while you're wearing my skin. Last thing I want is for someone to think I got treed by a harmless spider. He'd kill my rep forever. Trying not to roll his eyes or say something really mean about it all, Nick stepped forward to pick up the spider and remove it from the room. But the moment he touched it, an electric shock went through him. One second it was a tiny, harmless spider, and in the next, it was a beautiful woman with a vampiric dental problem. An evil smile curled her lips as she reached for Nick, jerking him into her arms. She sank her fangs into his neck.
You are mine, Malachi. All mine.
Chapter 18. Nick's head swam as he appeared in a large living room with antique furniture. He wasn't sure if he was still in a human realm or in an alternate one. There was no way to get any real bearings here. It might be New Orleans. Heck, it might all be a dream or hallucination. There was no telling, especially when it came to his extremely screwed-up life. The woman holding him let go and stepped back to give him a hot once-over he might have found seductive had she not just taken a chunk out of his neck. He glared at her as he rubbed at the nasty wound that held a perfect impression of her serrated teeth. For the record, nibbling on a guy's skin is nice. Taking a bite out of his flesh, not the way to get a second date. Just letting you know. You need to update whatever whacked-out guy manual you're using. Tall, raven-haired, and pale-skinned, she licked his blood from her lips as she smiled and playfully ruffled his hair.
You're much sweeter tasting than a Darian. I think I like you better already.
Yeah, okay. There was so much about this that made him uncomfortable. He had no idea where to start listing things, but the primary concern he had was simple. How can you bite me and make me bleed when I don't have a physical body here? She laughed.
You're very real to me. And no matter where you are, I will always be able to find and touch you.
Had that come from Cody, he'd be thrilled with it. From this woman? That ranked up there with a Freddy Krueger threat. Who are you? More importantly, what was she? Laughing again, she nipped at his chin with enough pressure to make it hurt.
I'm your Saruninim, Livia. As soon as I awoke, I followed the scent of your blood to you, or so I thought. I knew the real Malachi couldn't be that sniveling coward who feared my lesser form. So, while many things have changed about the world while I endured my Stygian nightmare, some things will always be, and a strong, fearless Malachi is one of them.
She ran her hand down his chest toward an area of his body that made him jump away from her reach. Nick caught her hand and pulled it away. Babe, I don't know you, and my no zone has a very short guest list. Consider my belt the velvet rope no one crosses without an express invitation. She fisted her hands in his shirt and pulled him against her for another kiss. He dodged her lips, then twisted out of her arms. Demon, please. You don't just bite a guy, make him bleed, and expect him to fall all over you. Don't know where you're from, but here? That's considered rude. She scoffed at him.
You need to feed from me, Malachi. I am the one who will always give you the most power. I'm the one Sakan you have on your team that no one is immune to.
He removed her hand from his arm. I still don't understand how you can touch me when I have no body.
Like you, there is only one of me, and we are bound by the blood of your ancestors. Corporeal or not makes no difference. Now come, kiss my lips, and feast on the nectar you need to take your rightful place to unite and lead us into battle.
Nick shook his head. No offense? I don't want to feast on anyone's nectar. Mostly because it didn't sound all that sanitary or healthy, especially given how free and nonchalant she was with handing it out. But he didn't want to hurt her feelings either, so he quickly added, not until I have my body back. Until then, I don't need to be partaking of anything other than working on an eviction notice for an arachnophobe who's currently humiliating my real body. She stared at him as if he made no sense to her whatsoever.
Malachi!
Startled, Nick turned around to find Zerelda behind him. What's wrong?
They're coming.
They?
The ones who want you dead. They've tracked you down.
She passed her hand through both him and Livia.
I can't stop them. Not even she can see me. Only you, Nick. But you need to know. They're about to attack my brother. Please, help him. What is wrong with you?
Nick glanced over his shoulder at Livia. You really can't see her.
See who?
Nick shook his head as Zerelda ran for a wall and vanished into it. Never mind. You have to put me back together.
I don't understand.
I'm your commander, right? She nodded. Then that's my first round of orders. I need to get back to the others. Now. Take me to where you found me. Her eyes turned deep, dark red. Resistance burned bright inside them, as if she was fighting against some inner force so that she could disobey him. Finally, she let out a frustrated sound. She threw her head back, wrinkled her nose, and stomped her foot. Then she sighed and looked at him as if nothing had just happened.
Fine.
It came out like an insult, the way she said it. But before she could make good on his order, another flash blinded him to the point he saw stars from it. He held his hand up to shield his eyes from the intense light source. A loud, enraged hiss rang out, followed by a blast that exploded so close to Nick, he could feel the heat of it. Livia returned the attack with a blast of her own.
Zevakan, down!
I'm not your dog, Livia. Mind your place.
It
took Nick a second to understand the creature's words through his thick, heavy accent. Man, it made Kyrian's and Talon's sound mild by comparison. Not an easy feat by any stretch of the imagination. Dressed in black pants and a long leather coat of an archaic style, with a hood that concealed his features completely, the newcomer seemed humongous. Until he stepped closer to Livia, and Nick realized he was probably only an inch or two taller than Nick was in his normal body. Their build was about the same, too, only this guy had an aura about him that would rival Asheron's for sheer lethal grace. He definitely had a high body count on something other than Castlevania. For that matter, Nick held no doubt that the guy's heavy combat boots were probably laced with some victim's intestines. Rigid from head to toe, Livia stood up to him without flinching. She raked him with a sneer that said she was unimpressed by his grand entrance.
"Oh, little boy, do I have to school you on your manners? I know you were thrown out by your mother just minutes after she spawned you, but trust me, I hold even less love of you than she did."
He stepped closer to her, as if trying to intimidate her with his much larger frame. And he did dwarf her. Even so, she didn't flinch or back off a bit.
"Why do you protect something so weak and ineffectual if the only place this one can lead us is straight into defeat?"
Laughing, she stepped back and held her hand out toward Nick.
"Fine. If you really believe that, take him, if you can."
Nick gaped at the way she just casually threw him to the whatever kind of demon, inhuman nightmare creature this was.
"Excuse me? I'm not Pushien here, Cher."
Livia didn't comment as she stepped back out of the line of fire. Great, he really was dog food. With no place to run, Nick braced himself for the fight. An inhuman growl came out from the bowels of that black hood. He held his hands out, and lightning sizzled over the creature's entire body. It intensified and danced around him. Throwing his head back, he let loose a cry of anguished fury. The hood fell down against his shoulders, exposing his perfect features. Nick held his arms up to defend against whatever attack he planned to unleash. Suddenly, the lightning stopped. For a full minute, nothing moved. No sound came from any of them. Not even breathing. Then, slowly, the man lowered his arms and raised his head. He curled his lip.
"Damn. He really is the Malachi."
Completely confused by the display of power and free light show, Nick arched his brow as a pair of searing hazel eyes met his gaze. They were the strangest he'd ever seen, like a kaleidoscope of reddish earth browns and greens. The color reminded him of rust nestled in summer leaves. But that wasn't the most peculiar thing about him and his pretty boy looks. Oh, no. This guy not only wrote the book on weird, he printed and owned every copy. Unlike virtually every guy on the planet, his hair wasn't a single color. It was three. He parted it on the left side of his head. The bulk and longest strands of his hair that fell from the part were a very vivid and unnatural dyed blood red. From his part down the shorter right strands, it was a bright, unnatural yellow, like anime hair. That being said, his peekaboo roots and strands that were laced through in places were jet black, which had to be his real hair color, cut short in back and longer in the front so that the red draped over his right eye. His hairstyle gave the impression that the guy was targeting whatever he was looking at. Well, that and the intense hatred that came from the visible left eye. Yet the oddest part of all was his dyed
arctic blue eyebrows. Nick started for a snarky tsunami refugee comment until he realized something. Zevikon's unorthodox hair and eye color represented each of the six primal gods. For that matter, he was as perfectly formed as Asheron. His features would be considered beautiful if not for the rugged line of his jaw and the sheer ferocity of his presence. He stood with his legs planted and his body tense as if ready to go to war with the entire world. Zevikon ground his teeth so fiercely it caused his jaw to tick.
I can't believe this is what I'm forced to follow.
Sneering his obvious contempt, he slid his gaze to Livia.
Where are the others?
They're not here yet. Zevikon cursed.
Of course not.
He turned his sullen glare